painted pictures illustrating what they think God might be like. Sometimes God is depicted as a remote ruler on some heavenly throne, someone who will be untouched by what's going on in our lives. This is a picture by an Italian Renaissance painter who worked mostly in Venice. What do you think of this God? He looks like he's well past retirement age, doesn't he? And then perhaps one of the most famous pictures is this picture of Michelangelo, his depiction of God creating the sun and the moon, which is in the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican. But look at the face of this God. Don't you think he looks rather angry? The Bible presents us with a very different picture of God to those that are often portrayed by artists. In fact, it uses images that are familiar and express not remoteness, but relationship. This morning we're going to consider two of those images. Supposing you might walk into Smith's on a Saturday afternoon, you might find people browsing bookshelves like this. And I sometimes wonder what it is that makes people choose a particular book. Is it because it's a bestseller? Perhaps it's been recommended by a friend. Or perhaps they read a review in some magazine. Or it may even be those favorable cover comments on the back cover that publishers feel compelled to print. There is a saying, don't judge a book by its cover. And I have to confess that some years ago, I did precisely that. I bought a book purely because of its cover. It was the first book I ever read by the American author John Steinbeck. And his eye for detail, his clarity of description, made him one of my favorite authors. But when I bought this book, I knew nothing about John Steinbeck. I'd never heard of him. I'd not read any reviews of the book. The quotes on the back cover were interesting, but that's not why I bought it. I bought it purely because of this picture on the front. And the reason why I bought it was I wanted to read the story of this lady that's portrayed in the picture. And I learned the truth that you should not judge a book by the cover, because nothing is said anywhere in the book about this lady. Obviously, it was just a picture that the publishers chose to put on the front of the book. But let me describe to you what I see in that picture. It's a scene of devastation. The ground is covered with rubble, the remains of houses that have been blown apart by shelling. The column of smoke rising in the background indicates that all of this destruction is very recent. And in the center of the picture stands an American soldier in combat gear. His hands hang loosely at his side, and in his right hand he holds a rifle which points towards the ground. From under the shadow of his helmet, he stares towards the foreground of the picture where sits a young mother. She pays no attention to the soldier. She is not distracted by the devastation around her. Her whole attention is directed to the baby she's holding in her arms. In the midst of the destruction and suffering of war, she has only one concern, the care of her child. She sits probably in the ruins of her own home. The village that was once her home, where friends and family lived, lies in ruins. She has probably lost every possession she ever treasured. But what matters most is the child in her arms. The war which has destroyed everything around her cannot destroy her love for her child, whom she holds protectively in her arms and nurtures from her breast. and the child is at peace. His eyes are closed, his body relaxed. In the midst of all the suffering and uncertainty, he feels absolutely secure in the love of his mother. And this picture for me presents vividly without words the extent of a mother's care for her infant. And you know, this is a picture that the Bible uses to describe God. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words to a people who thought God had forgotten them, that he'd abandoned them, that he was remote and untouched by what they were going through. And God sent this message through the prophet Isaiah. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. God chose this image of a nursing mother to convey the depth of his care and his compassion for his people. What an amazing depiction of God, isn't it? Not remote, not distant, not far away, but close and intimate, and nurturing his children as a mother might nurture her infant. What an amazing picture of God. The other image that the Bible frequently uses to depict the closeness of the relationship that God wants to have with us is the picture of a compassionate father. And these on there, those words on there, the words of Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. A compassionate father. Bartolomé Esteban Murillo was a leading Spanish painter in the later 17th century. You've probably never heard of him. I haven't until I came across one of his pictures. But apparently he was the most admired and popular of all the European artists through the 18th century and early 19th century. It's okay, thank you. Are there two cars there? You've got one. This is his picture of the return of the prodigal son. This son who had demanded his share of his inheritance, had wasted it in wild living. He became destitute, and in desperation he returned to his father. And here he is depicted in rags and bare feet. As he came back to his father, he had prepared in advance what he wanted to say to his father, because he felt a huge burden of guilt for having taken his share of the inheritance and squandered it in wild living. And so as he came back, he had prepared this speech. What he wanted to say to his father was this: Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. But do you know what happened? He never got to finish his prepared speech. Because as soon as the father saw him, he ran and welcomed him and embraced him and forgave him and welcomed him back as his long lost son. On the right side of the painting, there's a picture of the servant who has brought the rather elaborate clothing that his father has ordered to take away his rags and clothe him like his son should be clothed. And on the left-hand side of the picture, you can just about see, it's maybe not quite so clear on there, but just here, there is the head of the animal who will provide for the celebration dinner. that will welcome his son home. Now, Dave and Kate came here this morning to give thanks for little Rosie and to dedicate themselves to her care. And for those of us who know them, the love and care that they have for Rosie and for Jack is very obvious, is it not? God has chosen these two images, that of a nursing mother and a compassionate father, to convey the nature of the relationship that he wants to have with us. The depth of love and care that he is willing to lavish upon his children. The key question for us is, how can we know we are God's children? You see, the Bible makes it clear that by nature, we are not God's children. We're not God's children because we've been born into the human race. By nature, we are actually alienated from God. We're separated from him because of our sin, the wrong things that we do, the way in which we choose to live our lives independent of the God who created us. But Jesus, who shares God's very nature, came into our world not just to show us what God was like, so that, if you like, we could have a God with a human face. He came not just to show us what God was like, but by his sacrificial death on the cross to deal with the problem of our sin, to atone for it, so that that barrier of sin could be removed, that gulf of sin that separated us from God could be bridged, and we could come into relationship with God. You see, it's all about our relationship with Jesus. If we are children of God, it is because of our relationship with him. By faith, we can receive forgiveness. We can be welcomed into God as his dearly loved children. This is how the Bible describes it. But to as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Just like the prodigal, we need to come back to God to acknowledge that we've sinned against him, that we have chosen independence, that we've gone our own way. We need to turn back to God to repent of our sinful independence, to accept the forgiveness he offers us through Christ, and to commit our lives to living as he directs us. When we do that, the Almighty, the all-powerful God, receives us as his children and commits himself to our care and nurture. And this is the most incredibly wonderful experience, to know that I'm a child of God, to be absolutely secure in that relationship with God, to know that just as a mother cannot forget the child that's nurturing at her breast, he will never forget me. To know that he cares for me with all the compassion of a loving father. There's nothing like it. There is no greater privilege on earth than the privilege of being a child of God. And what I want to say to you is, if you're unsure this morning, perhaps come and talk to me or Dave or someone else of the church that you feel comfortable to talk to, because there is just nothing that compares with this great privilege of being God's child, of knowing that he cares and nurtures us and is committed to our best. It is absolutely incredible. And the final song that we're going to sing will pick up that theme. So if we still have our musicians with us, and he's just leaving. Were you going home, or were you just going for a breath of fresh air? We're going to sing a song that picks up that theme. It says, "Who am I that the highest king should welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. I am a child of God. Yes, I am." If you can't sing those words with truth this morning, do come and talk to someone. We are children of God because of our relationship with Jesus. And God treats us as his children in the manner in which he would treat Jesus, his only dearly beloved son. That's what the Bible tells us. And we're going to celebrate that as we sing this song together.